Hello, everyone, and welcome to Murder in Stratton County, written by Elizabeth Spoon and Rylan Mason, narrated by me, Brian Shepherd. Chapter 1. It was a day like most in the town of Stratton, nestled on the edge of Stratton County, New York. The leaves were already changing over most of the western part of the state, falling faster than the temperatures, but that was short to follow. School was in session, and soon the days would grow short with daylight and ambition for some. The town resembled most old New England towns, with most of the community tightly packed in a small area, surrounded by miles of dense forest and old farming fields, the mountains to the west and the valley to the east. Main Street was a bustle of life and movement, even for 6:30 in the morning. Halfway down Main Street, among the mirage of old and new homes, stood a beautiful Tudor house. Alice Boyd stepped off her porch, her arms outstretched, taking a deep breath of crisp morning air. The sun was just peeking through the shadows of a few clouds. It looked like it was going to be a good day. Alice looked around, up one side of the street and then the other. Soon, the leaves would just be a nuisance to the lawns and landscapers. The land would give way to the grip of frigid weather and eventually become frozen. The extraordinary abundant smell of a wood stove this morning, making it even more pungent, like a spaceship hovering over the town, permeating every molecule of air. "I am not ready for snow just yet," shaking her head, Alice thought. She headed for the sidewalk and proceeded down the street towards the center of town. Alice owned and operated the Main Street Market and Package Store, the only one in town. If you wanted big groceries, folks could travel 20 miles through the mountains to the other side of the county. But it seemed only the big city folk would make the trip, if they were desperate for some staple they could not live without. There was a small plaza there, including a body shop, hardware store, and big grocery chain. Most of that side of the county had been hit by recession, and many businesses over the passing of time folded up and moved on, leaving the trailer park residents to work what was left and eke out of existence on the outskirts of the county. Alice thought about how lucky she was to have inherited her childhood home and her parents' business, which they had both poured 60 years of their own lives into building and maintaining. Now it was her legacy to carry on with, and Alice was proud of that. She counted on being here for the rest of her life, never picturing trading up for some big city high-rise or condo in the suburbs. Continuing down the sidewalk, various neighbors were already emerging from their prospective homes, waving, echoes of greetings all throughout the street, kids running past her to the bus stop at the corner. Old Lady Whitman was known and referred to as Duchess by some in the town. She was sitting in her rocking chair, as she did almost every morning, with her Pomeranian named Mopsy. Mopsy was endlessly and insistently barking at the school kids who taunted her as they passed by. Her leash tightly tied and tucked under the rocking chair, the Duchess was something of a porch fixture, thought to be in her 80s with gray, straggly hair, though some in town joked that she was older. The fable spun that she was an evil witch to scare the kids, more a product of the 20s flapper era, and an avid chain smoker. Duchess would occasionally hit up her late husband's liquor cabinet, getting snookered on the brandy, then would shout profanities at the squirrels who had taken up residence in her walnut and oak trees. She choked and crackled over her morning teacup, taking a deep drag of her menthol cool 100 and reaching for the leash. "Mopsy, enough," she said, waving her hand around as ashes fell from her cigarette. Duchess, tugging on the leash a little, Mopsy, subsiding her endless yipping, circled her reach on the porch, then flopped down under the chair between her legs. "That's better," Duchess said aloud, giving Mopsy a pat on the head. "Good morning, Duchess."
"Morning, Alice."
"Still smoking, I see," Alice pointed out. Duchess muffled a crackled laugh. "Still running the market. When are you going to sell that place to the big city investors and settle down?" She half coughed as she spat out the words. Alice smiled and quickened her pace and bid Duchess a good day, continuing down the sidewalk, refusing to herself to make any pretentious comment. "What does she really have in that teacup?" Alice said to herself. As Alice pondered, she smiled. No wonder she's hanging on. The antique bag of dust fermented in her own skin and her late husband's liquor. She will probably still be rocking away in that chair for another 80 years. Crusty pile of bones. Maybe she was a witch. Alice snickered slightly. And to herself. It would be wise not to entertain notions from an old, snookered-up biddy whose favorite pastime was throwing acorns at the birds that landed on her porch. Harmless old woman, for sure. Down on the corner of 2nd and Main Street stood Deputy Jacob Marks. The deputy was the volunteer crossing guard in the morning for the township. He stood rocking back and forth on his heels in his orange vest and holding his mini stop sign. His hands stuffed in the pockets presently while he waited for the kids to cross. He was a high-functioning individual on the autistic spectrum and was wide-eyed watching the kids run around on the corner lawn. "Good morning, Alice," the deputy said with a smile. "Morning, deputy." The deputy shouted to the kids to calm down as he turned back to Alice. Alice paused for a minute on the sidewalk. "Did you hear about Shepherd Manor?" the deputy asked. "No, I did not," Alice promptly replied back, as she gazed at his big toothy smile and high-water trousers. Before he could elaborate on it further, the bus turned the corner and pulled up. Alice turned and continued through the crosswalk. "See you later," as she proceeded to the other side, peering over her shoulder at him and listening to him usher the kids. "Pile in. Hurry up." It was also funny to watch sometimes when he would flirt with the bus driver, Julian Henshaw. However, the deputy's words rang through Alice's thoughts as she continued past the bank and post office. She could not help but wonder now, filled with intrigue for a second about the events that had unfolded in the hours of darkness. Alice grabbed at her wristwatch. 6:45 a.m. Right on time. One more block and she would be there. Right across the street from the market was the Brentley Bed and Breakfast, the only place in town to rent any kind of room and board. Mr. and Mrs. Brentley had been there for 50 years. They were completely booked for the upcoming Thanksgiving holiday, the last tourist boom for the town for a while, maybe even for the season. The leaf peepers and many daily visitors that wanted to buy handmade jams and slippers, Afghans of sorts, before returning to their cities and hometowns. This morning, Mr. Brentley stood in the doorway of the front entrance, broom in hand, sweeping the sidewalk as he did every day. He never shouted hellos or such to Alice, or anyone for that matter. Just a polite wave in recognition, and continued sweeping. Alice waved back, reaching for the keys to the door. Thinking to herself, does he wear the same sweater every day, or is his closet a concession of tanned-down wool? Snickering at her own joke, Alice slid the key into the lock, pushed open the door, grabbing the stack of papers that had been left, and made her way to the back counter. Alice flicked on the breakers and looked around. The coolers kicked on and off from their defrost modes, and the glass filled with condensation. A slight chill went through her. "Ugh. Bucky must have left the air on again," she said, rubbing her hands together. Bucky Thomas was the night clerk at the market, hired several years back by her late father. He spent some time upstate after getting into some trouble with the law. Alice's father hired him with the promise that he would stay clean and do it as a favor to Jeb. His forgetfulness drove Alice batty sometimes, but she chalked it up to the damage done from the drug use. He was a good kid for the most part, just slow on the uptake. He meant well and was working hard on keeping his promise to Alice's father. Alice did what she could by keeping him on as night clerk after her father had passed on. So far, it's been working out. Digging for her pocket knife, Alice cut the strap holding the newspaper bundle. She proceeded to put them in the newspaper rack, which was located in the front of the store. While placing the bundle into place, she read the headline splattered across the front page of the Stratton County Gazette. Fire at Shepherd Manor. No one hurt. This must have been what the deputy was asking about before he got distracted with the school bus's arrival, along with the morning's dense air saturated with the dense fire smell. She then continued on to her other morning chores to get ready. "Now, let's check the heat. I'm freezing," she said, turning back to look at the thermostat. After a few moments and adjustments to the temperature, Alice finally made it into the kitchen to prepare the ovens for breakfast, while also making sure that the coffee was started for those early customers. The smell of coffee and the bacon she began to cook filled the market. The wind chimes on the glass of the door jingled. She stuck her head out to see who it was. The deputy, stepping in, no longer wearing his orange vest, he wandered towards the paper rack. "How about that coffee now, Alice?" Mark said, taking a stool at the counter. "Sure thing. It's going now." Deputy Marks grabbed the top paper, folded it in half, tucked it under his arm, and headed for the coffee bar to the basket of day-old baked goods, rifling for his favorite flavor of muffin, blueberry. Alice, grabbing a tray of ceramic coffee mugs and a beaker of coffee in the other, emerged from the kitchen. "Coffee's ready." Alice slid the tray onto the counter, placing the coffee on the warmer. Deputy Marks, grabbing for a to-go cup under the counter, started chin-wagging about the fire. "If you don't mind, I'll take that coffee to go, Alice. The sheriff wants me at the station as soon as possible. We're heading up to the manor to check out the damage and take the mayor's official statement." Also, engrossed in her morning agenda of store duties, tried to listen. "So, what happened?" she asked, pretending to be interested, but not rude. "Not sure yet. Possibly the maid left something going. At some point in the night, the whole kitchen caught fire. It was totally engulfed by the time our boys got up there to put it out. It's amazing the house didn't explode. From what the sheriff told me on the phone early this morning, the mayor is extremely livid," he said, flailing his arms in the air. Alice was about to make a remark as the chimes on the door rang again. "Shep Foster," the deputy boomed a little. "Morning, deputy. So, did you get your date yet with Hardbody Henshaw? Julianne?" As he joked and laughed from his gut at his own joke towards the deputy. Alice, holding back from her own outburst of laughter, turned away so that he couldn't see her smiling. "Very funny, Foster," Mark said, not amused, as he smugly remarked back, his cheeks flushing a little, being the butt of Shep's joke. "You better get going, deputy. The sheriff is waiting," Alex said as she stepped behind the counter to ring him out. Yeah, you're right, Alice," Mark said with a small sigh. Shep disappeared into the kitchen, vocally laughing to himself as the deputy fished for a couple of crumpled dollar bills out of his pocket. He handed Alice the money and bid her good day, the chimes jingling once more against the glass as Alice walked back into the kitchen. "You absolutely like to stir the pot with him, don't you?" she said, pointing a finger at him. "Morning to you too, Alice. And yeah, I do. We all enjoy our petty torments," he said, continuing to laugh. "Jeez, you're chipper this morning, old man. Did you find a gold coin under your pillow or something?" Alice said with a grin on her face. "Very funny, smartass," Shep said as the words whistled through his teeth, his bottom denture visibly moving as he spoke. Shep had worked for Alice's father and the market for 25 years. He was a fixture in the place as much as the overhead lights were. Longtime friends with her father, he did most of the morning baking while Alice tended to breakfast and the customers. splitting the rest of the work between them to get everything accomplished. The chimes on the door began to ring a little bit more now. Business had picked up, and the market was a bustle of tourists, roaming the array of the market while locals talked about the fire. Alice pressed on with Shep, baking away, serving up conversation, and giving directions to people who clearly did not know where they were. All the while, the register is chiming its hundreds of dollars in sales. By 11 o'clock, it had slowed, and the influx of business ceased for the morning. Alice grabbed a napkin and wiped her forehead, turning to look at Shep leaning on the counter. He had that half-smile on his face, like there was some smart-ass adolescent remark waiting to come out. "That was some rush, huh?" he said. "Yeah," she sighed in relief. Alice and Shep could relax now that it was the lunch crew that were due to come in, which meant lunch was easier, as there was no hot foods, or that many anyways, that they served for lunch. "I think you can shut the ovens off and such," she says as they walked back into the kitchen. "Have you thought about hiring someone for days? Maybe allow yourself a break?" he inquired. Alice looked at him a little condescending. "Really, Shep? What would I do with all the spare time? End up like old Duchess? Ha! Wouldn't that be a hoot?" she said, laughing. "Well, no," he said with a grin. Shep chuckled as he retreated to the kitchen to shut it down, while Alice bussed the trash from the last table. You could hear the kitchen blowers making their last-ditch efforts to pipe the remaining of the kitchen food outside amongst the buildings. After breakfast, Alice tended to the deli orders and wrapped up the remaining baked goods in between random tourists for drinks and snacks. Every day, Miss Brentley would walk over to the market and place a standing order for some fresh deli meats, cheeses, and various other groceries for the next day. She had not been yet this morning to pick up her order. She must have been too busy for the movements of all her guests since she had not arrived. Alice was pondering whether to run an order across the street to check in before she headed to the bank when Shep yelled from the back of the kitchen, "Hey, I'm running out the trash and having a smoke out." "Okay, Shep." Alice stood behind the counter, watching the bustle of street for a moment. While waiting for Shep to come back in and attend the market, Alice determined she would prepare her bank deposit slip. She reached and pulled the sheet from under the counter and the bank bag. The safe was under the register, beeping as she entered in the code to open and retrieve her weekly deposit. Alice pulled the money from the safe and counted, filling out the slip. She dropped it into the bag and zipped it up, placing the sealed bag under the counter. She heard the back door close and Shep came through to the front, through the kitchen doors. "Feel better?" Alice asked. "Loads," he spat at her. Alice smiled. "I'm going to head up quickly to the bank. Make sure to listen for the chimes, old-timer," she said, pointing to the bells above the door. "Get going, kid. You're just like your father was, all vinegar, all the way through," he said, lifting his leg as if to kick her out. He shook his head a little, smiling as he headed back towards the kitchen. Alice stepped out onto the sidewalk and headed for the bank. Dodging tourists here and there, her deposit bag tucked under her arm. Looking up, she grabbed the door to the vestibule leading into the bank and post office. Painted white with blue awnings, the building was one of the oldest in Stratton, and had housed the bank and post office since the incorporation of the town. Alice made her way to the counter. Sitting behind it, on a tall stool, was Rhonda Larson.
"Hi there, Alice,"
Rhonda said, half-cocking a smile. "Hi, Rhonda, just making a deposit," Alice replied, as if to signal that she does not have time for any gossip or other conversation that she wants to have with Alice. Rhonda Larson had worked for Stratton Bank and Trust for 10 years. She was sort of a busybody and had a sweet deposition. Shep had been secretly courting her and thinking it was a secret and people didn't know. The truth was, others already knew this, but it didn't bother or faze them. As she reached for the deposit slip and stack of bills, her bracelets jingled. Alice kept looking at her as she counted it, stamped the deposit slip, and dropped the money down the slot into the lockbox. The slip was neatly filed into the stack next to her left with the others from the day. Rhonda completed the transaction as she slid Alice's receipt across the counter. "So, did you hear about..." And before she could finish, Alice piped up. "Oh, yeah, I heard already from Deputy Marks in the market when he stopped in this morning. Look, I'm sorry, Rhonda, but I really don't have time to chat. I'm busy. Busy! And I need to get back before lunch," she said, trying her best to get out of the bank. Rhonda leaned back a little on the stool, obviously annoyed at Alice's rushed tone. "Oh, okay. Well, tell Shep I said hello." Her beady eyes peered over her glasses at Alice. "Will do," Alice said as she headed for the door. Quickly exiting the bank and stepping back out onto the sidewalk, she folded the receipt and stuck it in her pocket. Alice wasn't the rude type, but her forwardness sometimes, she thought, might piss people off. She also felt it necessary to stand and chinwag with someone who spat out mindless dribbled mixed with twisted facts. No, thank you. Alice didn't really want to chat right now with her and headed back to the market. Back at the market, Shep was behind the counter ringing out a young couple with children. The kids could barely see over the counter. The man fumbled for some bills out of his wallet as his wife, bags in tow, ushered the kids past him towards the door. The register chiming, Shep handed the man his change. "Have a great day," he said. The man smiled back and said, "Yeah, thanks for the information on that home for sale. We have been looking to move out of the city for a while now. I'm sure I'll be seeing you soon." The man grabbed the last bag on the counter and exited to his awaiting family. Shep turned towards Alice. "What was that about?" "Oh, that was Henry and Tabitha Benson. They are shopping here in Stratton for a home. They want out of the big city now, and they just had their third child. I told them about the Victor place over on Maple Street. He said they're going to take a look. I'm glad you're back." "Why is that?" Alice looked at him, wondering what next might pour out of his mouth. "The mayor's office called. Since his kitchen was destroyed, he's going to be coming here for breakfast until the repairs are completed," he said, rolling his eyes. "How wonderful for us," Alice chuckled. "Is Bucky in yet?" she asked. "Yeah, he's in the back." Alice, wondering exactly what the next days and weeks would bring as she went into the kitchen in search of Bucky. As she entered, Bucky was emerging from the walk-in cooler, a whole turkey and a roll of salami in his arms. "Hi, Alice. I was just stocking the deli cooler. Also, Miss Brentley came and picked up her order and put a new one in for tomorrow." "Great. Thanks, Bucky. I need to talk to you." "About..." he half choked out like a deer in headlights, like he was frozen in fear. "Oh, just a couple of things," she responded. Alice sometimes called her approach to Bucky the soft-boiled egg approach. If she didn't, he would get very anxious and become twitchy and fidgety, for which he didn't even realize he did. Alice proceeded by going over with Bucky about leaving the air on and such. "We are going to be busy for a little bit," she said, finishing up the discussion and informing him of the news about the mayor's office calling. "Okay, just tell me what you need, Alice," he said, standing straight. "Thanks, Bucky. I appreciate it," replying back, giving him a warm smile. As she was finishing up, Shep walked into the kitchen behind Alice, and she promptly advised the two of them now standing in her presence. "We will have a game plan ready by tomorrow. I'm going to return the phone call to the mayor's office now and get things squared away. I would like to get a few things clarified." She proceeded to look at Shep directly and asked, "So, what exactly did the mayor's office say to you over the phone?" "Basically what I told you. But his secretary did say to call her. I left the info near the phone," he said, pointing to her office. Okay, then. Let's get ready for lunch, and we will discuss this later. The lunch rush was not nearly as busy as breakfast. Just a few deli orders and more tourists, stopping for drinks and snacks, or wandering around to kill time and not buy anything. While Shep and Bucky were busy plugging away at the rest of their daily duties, Alice took a few minutes to sit in her office and do paperwork. She grabbed the phone and dialed the number for the mayor's office. The phone rang a couple of times. "Mayor Shepherd's office, how can I help you?" a woman's voice answered on the other end. "Hi, this is Alice Boyd calling. I'm returning the call from earlier." "Well, hello, Miss Boyd. Thank you for returning our call. Mainly, the mayor wanted to make sure it wasn't going to be an inconvenience for you and your staff during this busy holiday season to prepare some extra meals and such. He's going to be putting in some orders for breakfast and lunch, and will be in need of some other groceries while the repairs are being done to the kitchen from the fire." "Oh, it's no problem at all. I will just need advance notice of what he wants and needs, just in case I need a special order or something," Alice said. "That's great. I'll let the mayor know. I will be in touch soon," the woman said back. Alice hung up the phone, walked back out to the front of the store, and filled Shep and Bucky further in on what was going on and what would be required for the coming weeks. "So basically, we have a lot of work for the three of us in the upcoming weeks," Shep replied. "Nothing we haven't dealt with before," Alice said as she glanced at the clock hanging over on the door. It was almost 2 o'clock. "Well, Shep, I think we're about done for today. I'm going to go head out shortly," looking away from the clock. "Me too. I think Bucky has it covered from here, and we'll do the rest of the stocking this afternoon," Shep said as he began untying his apron. Alice, gathering up a cup of coffee for herself to go, she also grabbed the last paper in the rack and said good afternoon to both of them. Alice headed down the sidewalk home. While on her journey, Alice stopped and crossed the street and entered the doorway of the bed and breakfast. Miss Brentley was at the counter, her glasses hanging down around her neck. She looked up. "Well, hello, dearie," she said, surprised but excited to see Alice. "Hello. Was everything in your order that you asked for?" Alice asked. "Yes, dear. It was all packed neatly in the box," Miss Brentley said, impressed. "That's good. I just wanted to stop and make sure." Smiling, she began back out of the building and bid Miss Brentley a farewell and carried on out the door towards her destination, home. Thank you so much for listening to Chapter 1. I hope you enjoy it. There's more to come. So in the comments, let me know what you think so far. Maybe you might want to wait a couple more chapters. It's going to be great. It's a good story. It's finished. And I'll be releasing every week another chapter as we progress and go from there. So yeah, that was Murder in Stratton County. I wrote it with a friend of mine. It took 6 years. But there it is. So a shout out to Elizabeth Spoon. It's here. People can hear it. I hope it's okay. Hope you're listening. Everyone else, subscribe, like, share it. And that's all I got for you. Till next time, till next week. When I read Chapter 2, I can't wait for you to read Chapter 2. Or listen to it, I should say. But anyways, enjoy your weekend. And don't forget, we also have Chapter 4 of Fear on the High Seas coming this week. So that will be out. All right, guys, have a great weekend. I'll see you all next week.